a nail biter between Baltimore and Pittsburgh, even though, as is typical, the Ravens and Steelers and the other teams in the AFC North, they do not blow us away with their offense generally, but and probably more so when the Steelers are involved. I guess I should say that because we saw, what was it, a 41-38 battle between the Ravens and Bengals earlier in the season. But when it's Ravens and Steelers, it's a knockdown dragout. And so neither team showed us its best offensive chops, and yet a nail biter to the end. What a game. Chiefs, Bills, Buffalo able to come away with a massive victory. And if you look at the Bills' win streak, the 6 in a row, and their 9 wins overall, this was by far the biggest. It was by far the best measuring stick for these Bills. Though, wait until you hear what Sean McDermott had to say about what the game is not. As in, it's not a Super Bowl win. That's not what he said, but I'm giving you an example. But Bills and Chiefs, good to the last drop. Chiefs still have a lot to work on. But man, even in that raucous atmosphere, even with Buffalo's offense in such a great rhythm, with all that grit and toughness, even then, the Chiefs have a shot in the fourth quarter. If they can come up with a defensive stop on 4th and 2. Of course, that didn't go their way. But the Chiefs don't blow teams out anymore. Why is that? Why is that? So Chiefs and Bills, terrific. The ratings will be through the roof for this one because it was good all the way through. And then our Sunday Night Football game. Another example of the NFL entertainment value. I think the Chargers had to win that game against the Bengals 2, maybe 3 times after posting a 27-6 lead. They seemingly disappear on offense in the second half, and then a bad fumble that allows the Chargers to come back and tie this game. But I think in a nutshell, what you see in this game between LA and Cincinnati is the difference between one of the differences. And it's a slight difference that can mean a whole lot. The game's just separated by 7 points in the end, a single score. And yet the difference between the Chargers and the Bengals is finding ways to close. Even if your entire game goes haywire and off the rails in the second half, can you find a way to close and get the W anyway? It's not always going to go your way on the football field. These are the best players in the world, of course. Some of the best coaches in the world. And what I hear over and over from coaches and players is how hard it is to win every single week. You get to this point in the season, it's a grind. And yes, the Chargers could have made it a lot easier on themselves by protecting that 3-touchdown lead. But we know the Bengals are a terrific offense. We've seen that all season. How often the offense has to cover up the sins of the defense and has to compensate for the defense. At some point, Joe Burrow was going to get loose and find his receivers and throw T. Higgins back into the mix now for Cincinnati. And yet the Chargers find a way to pull out that win. Huge for them. And don't look now, but in the AFC West, where they do not hand out division titles in week 11, the Chargers are just 2 games back of those Chiefs in the standings. Despite Kansas City beginning the year 9-0, the Chargers are within 2 games in the standings, having won 4 consecutive games. We got some great battles. San Francisco and Seattle, another heartbreaker in division for the Niners. Both the Lions and the Vikings win again on Sunday, Meaning you've got a Lions team that's 9-1, same record as the Chiefs, a Vikings team that's 8-2, hot on its heels, same record as the Eagles. Those are your top three teams in the NFC. Lions, Vikings, Eagles. Now, the Commanders have dropped two games in a row. They'll have the mini bye, of course, over this weekend. But they are 7-4, which is the same, well, same number of wins as the Packers, who've already had their bye. Those are your best teams in the NFC, which could lead to three teams from the North ending up in the playoffs. It could be that way. Other than the teams I just mentioned, Philadelphia, Washington, Detroit, Minnesota, Green Bay, you've got Atlanta and Arizona who are above 500, but those are your only other teams in the NFC that are above 500, and they're division leaders right now at 6-5. With back-to-back losses, the Falcons are still the only team in the NFC South that's above 500. I mean, the Bucs have lost four in a row. The Saints, while they've won two in a row under Darren Rizzi, I don't think they're scaring anyone, though they could put themselves in the wild card conversation or potentially win the South if the Falcons don't get their asses in gear. And the West is just weird. It's not the Wild West or the Wacky West, although maybe it is the Wacky West. It could be the Wicked West. The Cardinals are 6-4, and every other team in that division is 5-5. So odd. Man, the way things change from year to year, it's no wonder that roughly half the playoff field in the NFL turns over every winter. I hope you had a great weekend. Mine was, it was so much fun. My nieces were in town, and we took them to see a Broadway show of their choice for their Christmas present from last year. It just took us this long to kind of organize because of all the different moving parts, and it was awesome. They picked The Great Gatsby. I highly recommend, if you're on Broadway or you're looking for a trip or maybe a holiday adventure, it's colorful, it's bright, it's energetic. The acting, the dancing, the singing, it'll wow you. It's a really, really good show. So we enjoyed having my nieces in town. Their first solo visit, actually, as 20-somethings. So that was fun. Get away from the football grind for a bit. Although we did have the Georgia-Tennessee game on Saturday night. And actually, my niece went to UVA, so she wanted to see the Virginia-Villanova game basketball on Friday night. So a little bit of sports mixed in. Hope you had an awesome weekend. We are back starting another week. And do you know Thanksgiving is a week from Thursday? What? How is that possible? I was actually making the Thanksgiving shopping list on Sunday before football kicked off. And then throughout the games, I would think, oh, I need this. I need this. So as I'm taking my notes during the day on Sunday, I would every now and then pick up my phone and add to my grocery shopping list for Thanksgiving. I'm sure I'm not the only one who's doing that right now, especially if you're hosting, which we are. Small Thanksgiving, but we'll have a couple family members in town. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Please find me online at A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You by far picked Chiefs and Bills as the After Hours game of the week. Nearly 50% of you who voted, and it was a very brisk polling between our two social media sites. We will get to that game before this hour is done, and we'll also have the opportunity to connect with Sal Capaccio. A conversation with Sal at the top of the hour. He's the longtime Bills sideline reporter for their radio network. And I know, based on reaction, one of your favorite guests when we have him here on the show. So there's a lot to do. Again, at A-Law Radio, our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Chargers hosting the Bengals on Sunday night. And initially, Chargers dominating in the first half.
Again, play action. Herbert takes a shot. Disley caught. Touchdown. Touchdown, Chargers. Herbert to Disley. 29 yards. And for Disley, his first touchdown of the season, the 14th of his career. Herbert rolling to his right, climbing the pocket, throwing downfield. Cue, caught, touchdown! Touchdown, Chargers! A little bit of your own medicine there, Joe Burrow. Climbing the pocket and throwing a strike for 26.
Herbert was throwing balls on a rope. He was firing lasers and darts, and he was absolutely locked into his receivers, as you hear the call there with Matt Smith on Chargers radio. Yes, that's something we do see from Joe Burrow. But Herbert finding tight windows and zipping the ball into them, including that touchdown pass to Will Disley. Hit him as he was going away into the end zone. Perfect spot. Quentin Johnston has been one of his favorite new targets this season. And the Chargers were up 24-6 at the break with points on their last four possessions of that opening half. And then early in the third quarter, they tack on a field goal to go up 27-6. But after that, it seemed like the offense went into witness protection. Couldn't find them, didn't know where they were. What the heck happened? They got a new identity. They moved to a new state. Nowhere to be found. And of course, at some point, Burrow and his stable of receivers, also his great running back, Chase Brown, who is so versatile and has been so critical for them this season when they have to put up a lot of points. You knew they were going to find a groove, even though, remember this, through their first nine games under Jim Harbaugh, first season, the Chargers had not given up more than 13 points. So before the Bengals found that groove, they were sitting on just two field goals right in the Chargers' wheelhouse until they broke down the wheelhouse.
Burrow gets the shotgun snap, looks left, throws left, caught by Chase into the end zone, touchdown Bengals. A five-yard touchdown pass to Chase, his 11th touchdown reception of the season, and the Bengals get a much-needed score. It's now 27-12 with 5:27 to go in the third. Burrow waits on the shotgun snap. He's got it. He's back to pass. Chase is double covered. Burrow's going to take a shot. Higgins wide open down the middle. He's got it. Touchdown, Bengals. On fourth and two, Burrow goes deep and finds T. Higgins, a 42-yard touchdown, and suddenly the Bengals are within eight.
Just like that. Yeah, you could see that Joe Burrow, with his receivers, the fact that they spent a few years together, having T back on the field, all of that. And maybe, just maybe, the Chargers defense taking its foot off the gas a tad. Even though coaches, captains preach against that. And a 21-point lead isn't really all that safe when you have a full half to go. But as the Chargers offense seemingly disappeared, Joe Burrow and his receivers found some life. Then Justin Herbert fumbles. The Chargers lose possession. Now, this is in the fourth quarter. Gosh, little did we know at this point. It was almost like they're about to start a third act of this game. So Chargers dominate the first act. Bengals dominate in the middle there. Middle to late. And then it turns into something completely different in the final stages of this one. But after the Herbert fumble, it's like playing right into Joe Burrow's hands.
Shotgun snap to Burrow on second and 10. Burrow looking, backpedaling, still looking. Now throws for the end zone. Chase is there. He's got it. Touchdown, Bengals. Burrow backpedaling, buying time, and he finds Chase. Second touchdown catch tonight for Chase, a 17-yard strike, and the Bengals are an extra point away from tying the game at 27.
That's Ryan Radke on Westwood One Sunday Night Football, along with Mike Golick. The Bengals with touchdowns on three consecutive drives around that Herbert fumble, and we go from being 27-6 as the score in a possible blowout that wouldn't be more than a blip on the NFL Week 11 slate to a tie game with mere minutes to go. But that's where things go just haywire again, and it becomes something completely different. After the two teams are sitting on 27, then it's a punt, a four and out for the Chargers, a missed field goal for Evan McPherson and the Bengals, a three and out with negative yardage for the Chargers. See what I mean? Offense goes into witness protection. Another missed field goal by Evan McPherson, and then a three and out with 0 yards for the Chargers. How about that? Around a pair of missed field goals by the Bengals, the Chargers manage all of 13 net yards in three drives. That's it. They were going nowhere fast. And don't talk to me about the Bengals defense, because that's not really a thing. Well, not consistently. After their three and out, in which they hold the ball for all of 22 seconds, go nowhere and give it right back to the Bengals, the Bengals do the same. Only their drive is 4 plays, 14 yards, and 41 seconds. Does no one want to win this game? Is that how it's going to be? You take it. No, you take it. It's like a hot potato. You take it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I want you to want to win the football game. With 45 seconds to go, is this the last opportunity, or are we headed to overtime? I love the connection between Justin Herbert and a receiver that's been extremely reliable for him. If you've not heard the name yet, you should. It's Ladd McConkey. He's a rookie, a second round pick. And even as Justin Herbert, I'm compounding your mistakes. Oh dear, there goes the perfect show. Almost got through the first segment. Even as Justin Herbert has had an entirely new complement of receivers and backs around him, Ladd McConkey has stepped up. And even as a rookie, has provided stability, not to mention the ability to make plays. So on that last possession, final minute of this one for the Chargers, McConkey comes up with a pair of big catches for chunk yards. 28 yards, 27 yards, putting the Chargers in position.
Hand off to Dobbins. And there goes Dobbins on his horse to the 20, to the 15, to the 10, into the end zone. Touchdown, Chargers. 29 yards, J.K. Dobbins with 18 seconds left.
Once again, Dobbins with a pair of touchdowns for the Chargers. And while he's not the leading rusher, actually Herbert is, on a few scrambles and some design runs, he does carry the ball 11 times, gets into the end zone twice, including that near 30-yard scamper for the lead with just a few seconds remaining. Couple of weak attempts at a Hail Mary by Joe Burrow and his Bengals. The last one knocked down. And the Chargers come away with yet another victory. Are they turning SoFi into an actual home field advantage for them? That's a question. With 4 consecutive wins, they are 7-3. That's the same number of wins as the Ravens. That's more wins than the Houston Texans. And it's only 2 wins behind the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs, who've dominated the West for years. We'll get the reaction coming up, but we're off and running this Week 11 Sunday night. Find me online at A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, we'll get your Monday MVP poll up as we get closer to a Monday. But the reaction from SoFi is straight ahead. And then Bills Chiefs, back half of the hour. Hope you had a great weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Burrow taps his helmet, takes the snap. They bring an extra body to rush. He throws to the end zone. It's in the air, and it is incomplete. Chargers win. The Chargers win. 34-27, Derwin knocks it down.
Been having this feeling really since the beginning, back in April, May, June. That we got the right guys at the right time, and that's all a coach can ask for. And just keep building.
Off the field, on the money, and After Hours, It's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
Sunday night football turned into a doozy. It was one of those that comes along with, say, a reel on social media or some type of a video that is titled, "Wait for it." Wait for it is the caption. Yes, you had to wait for it. Wait for it. Because initially the Chargers appeared to be running away with this one, only to have to fight and scratch and claw and win it, say, a second time. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Jim Harbaugh has got his Chargers turned around. There may have been a bunch of people who thought, and I wasn't really sure how quickly they could turn it around, especially with so many changes, but they do have a terrific quarterback and some other very talented pieces in place. There were people who thought this would take a year or more for Harbaugh to establish his culture. But two things that stand out, and two things that you can come in and do right away: defense. Play defense. Tough defense. And that's what the Chargers have ascribed to this point. That's something that you can fix initially when you take over the job. It's a lot of times communication. It's discipline. It's paying attention to details. It's toughness. It's tackling. Defense, well, there are many nuances to it. And when you're playing more experienced quarterbacks like Joe Burrow, there certainly do have to be a lot of extra scout and strategies that go into it. But at the very basic level, you can improve your defense just by paying attention to those fundamentals. And the Chargers, they'd done that. Had not given up more than 13 points in any game until tonight. But that's why this was such a great test for Jim Harbaugh and LA. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on our Facebook page. Also at Amy After Hours on our show Twix. Back-to-back missed field goals by Cincinnati with the game tied at 27 in the fourth, only to see the Chargers then rally with that last touchdown. Another frustrating loss for Joe Burrow and Cincy.
Just got to make the plays. Just got to make the plays. And we haven't down the stretch, and we're not, you know, a good enough team to... You know, our margin of error is slim, so we got to make those plays. I got to make those plays. We all got to make those plays.
356 passing yards, though I dare say they didn't need to pass the ball quite as much had they not fallen into a 3-score hole. Jamar Chase, 7 catches, 75 yards, and a couple of touchdowns. He's now up to 12, by the way, 12 touchdown catches on the season. Remember when he was holding out in the summertime? But he is certainly frustrated. I think that's a fairly common theme with the Bengals and with other teams. But right now we're talking Cincy. And he was asked about the play calling late in this one.
I play football on the field. I don't call plays for us, you know, so I can't really do nothing.
Do you think that's part of the finishing factor is plays stuff?
I don't know.
I think it's just a matter of frustration. He wants to win as badly as anyone in that locker room. And he and Joe Burrow certainly have a terrific connection. We've known that going all the way back to their college days. But to waste a game in which you are on the road with plus 8 minutes time of possession and over 315 passing yards from your great QB, only to lose again. After all the effort in the second half, at least Zach Taylor felt like his team responded at the break.
When you're down like we were down, you know, and we weren't generating a lot of momentum our way, guys are frustrated. We get into halftime and settle down, you know, and it's okay for guys to show emotion. It's okay for guys to be frustrated. That doesn't bother me. And, you know, we just got to take a deep breath, and we did. And there was still confidence in the locker room, and you had to see it because you saw in the second half the way that those guys came out and played.
Some guys play better when they're fueled by emotion. Jamar Chase definitely is one of those guys. But ultimately, this goes to the Chargers. I don't know if you're a believer or not. You can let me know at A-Law Radio. But this was the best test for them so far because the defense didn't provide the same margin for error. And that's no knock on the D. They still have only allowed 14.5 points per game, which is the fewest in the NFL. But the Bengals found room. They found room to be able to hit the seams. They found room to put receivers where the defenders were not, or where Joe Burrow could find them and not anyone else. They got some chunk yardage from Chase Brown. But ultimately, Justin Herbert with a piece of what we see on a pretty regular basis from Joe Burrow. Now, Herbert's consistency is the key. Not that he's the only part of the equation that matters for the Chargers, because he's not. But he's had some up and down years. They get large part due to coaching changes, system changes, coordinator changes, play calling changes, terminology changes, all this stuff. He's seen so much in his first few years in the NFL. Plus, he's getting used to a bunch of different guys around him. But on that final drive, having those connections with Ladd McConkey, the ability to move the ball downfield, that was impressive.
We had to go make a play, and it came down to that drive. And, you know, Ladd had a couple great big catches, and then, you know, J.K. with that huge run. So props with to the guys sticking through it, staying patient, and getting the job done.
Yeah, he looked really good tonight in the first half and then on that last drive. Thankfully, Jim Harbaugh was able to find his offense that had gone into Witsec for the second half. 855-212-4227. By far, you tabbed it as the after-hours game of the week. Chiefs and Bills, the last four games between these two AFC powers decided by a single score. So you knew it would be good on Sunday afternoon from Orchard Park. We'll get to that coming up, but I'd love to hear from you at A-Law Radio or on our Facebook page. Hope you had a great weekend. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network Sports Flash.
This report is sponsored by LinkedIn. Let LinkedIn's deep candidate insights help you find your next Pro Bowl hire today. To post your job for free, go to linkedin.com/recruitment. Terms and conditions apply. Let's begin with Sunday Night Football. The Chargers and Bengals tied at 27 late in the fourth quarter.
Hand off to Dobbins. And there goes Dobbins on his horse to the 20, to the 15, to the 10, into the end zone. Touchdown, Chargers. 29 yards. J.K. Dobbins with 18 seconds left.
For J.K. Dobbins, his second touchdown run of the game. Matt Smith on Chargers radio, and the Chargers beat the Bengals 34-27. Now to Orchard Park, an AFC showdown. The Bills trying to hand the Chiefs their first loss of the season. The Bills with a two-point lead. They were driving late in the fourth quarter. At a fourth and two, could have gone for the field goal, but instead...
Allen going to step up in the pocket. Now he's going to take it and run, and he's got the first down and more. 10, 5, and muscles his way into the end zone for an unbelievable 26-yard touchdown run. Are you kidding me?
Chris Brown on Bills radio. Bills over the Chiefs 30-21. Buffalo improves to 9-2. The Chiefs drop to 9-1. Elsewhere, Seahawks 29ers 17. The Vikings over the Titans 23-13. Colts beat the Jets 28-27. The Broncos over the Falcons 38-6. Steelers 18, Ravens 16. Saints 35, Browns 14. Rams over the Patriots 28-22. Dolphins 34, Raiders 19. Lions beat up on the Jaguars 52-6. And the Packers beat the Bears 20-19. NBA, the Cavaliers are now 15-0. Beat the Hornets 128-114. NHL Capitals over the Golden Knights 5-2. Alex Ovechkin a hat trick. He's got 866 career goals, 29 away from breaking Wayne Gretzky's record of 894. I'm Peter Schwartz.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227.
Goal from the 3-yard line. Allen going to go under center here. Samuel on the right. Hollins on the left. Cook the lone setback. Handoff goes to Cook. Coming around the right side. Looking for the pylon. And he's in. James Cook with a 3-yard touchdown run. The Cook is in the kitchen. And once again, the Bills cash in on a takeaway. Another 6 points here. puts him up to 84 points scored off turnovers. That leads the league with an extra point to come.
Kareem Hunt, they fake to him. Now a right side throw to Worthy on the angle. Stretching out at the far front pylon. It's a touchdown, Kansas City. Xavier Worthy throws the ball up into the stands. A motion slice route, Danan Hughes. A slice route. And he slices into the end zone. And the Chiefs can take the lead on a PAT.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Just a taste of things to come. A harbinger. I love that word. I could say it right. Of things to come between Kansas City and Buffalo. Your choice for After Hours Game of the Week in a landslide. And we know Kansas City, despite being Super Bowl champions, does not blow out teams. We've talked about this extensively. What does it mean? I don't really know. Over the past couple weeks, there's a bunch of different theories. But nine tight wins this season for Kansas City, but this would be another stiff test where, of course, the Bills, they are on a roll and they recognize the importance of matching up toe-to-toe against a team like KC. You got to go through KC to get to the Super Bowl, like it or not. They're the toughest out in sports. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So Kansas City receives the first possession, but the very first pass thrown by Mahomes. You want to talk about setting the Bills fan, well, Bills Mafia, but the Bills fans, the Bills crowd on fire. Yeah, how about pick off the very first pass that your opponent throws? The MVP quarterback under pressure floats the ball too high and Taylor Rapp picks it off. And that leads to an efficient march right away. The Bills were in rhythm. James Cook has his first touchdown of the game. Though the Chiefs are able to grab the lead early in the second. Xavier Worthy, man, his speed is it's a game changer. It's impactful. He can get to spaces more quickly. He can get in and out of tight spaces more quickly. He's slippery. Reminds me a little bit of Tyreek Hill. They aren't the same guy, but the way they can use Xavier Worthy and that speed, the rookie out of Texas, well, you can see the effect that he has because the Bills really didn't have an answer for him, despite the fact that they would have a bead on him. He'd be there, and then he wouldn't be there. And so his 10-yard catch and run touchdown gives the Chiefs that lead and helps them to settle in. The calls with Chris Brown on Bills Radio. And at the top of the hour, Sal Capaccio, who's the sideline reporter for the Bills Radio Network. And then Mitch Holtis on the Chiefs Radio Network. The Bills answer right away with the second of James Cook's touchdowns. So early on, it seemed like they were trying to establish the run. But then Josh Allen has his interception. Chamari Connor, who was big in this game for the Chiefs defense. That Allen pick, that turnover, he doesn't have a lot of them this year, but he had two last week, another one against the Chiefs. It leads to a short field for Kansas City, and the Chiefs needed to take advantage of that opportunity.
Chiefs line up in a diamond to the left side of Mahomes. Third down and goal to go at the two. Chiefs down six. He looks at the diamond. Now he throws a yard deep into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. Noah Gray peeled out of the diamond. And the Chiefs find diamonds in the diamond mine for a two-yard touchdown on third down and goal to go at the two.
Noah Gray with the touchdown for the lead again. So here we are. We're seeing the lead change multiple times in the first half. And then again before they hit the locker rooms because Buffalo was able to tack on a field goal. Could have been a much larger lead for the Bills because that Josh Allen pick was thrown on a drive in which they had had not just a short field themselves, but great momentum. But this is what happens. It's punch, counter punch. And I loved it there in the first half. So they come out of the locker room. Maybe you were expecting more. Don't. Instead, it's four straight punts between these two offenses. And it's still 16-14 to begin the final quarter. But when Buffalo moved the ball, it was effective. It was efficient. It was powerful. That's a word that I associate a lot with Josh Allen. Whether he's throwing it, whether he's muscling his way through traffic, whether he's getting a full head of steam and knocking guys over. I really do think he likes to hit people. He's a linebacker trapped in a quarterback's body. No, he's a quarterback trapped in a linebacker's body. That works. He does enjoy the contact. And guys bounce off him. I mean, he's nearly the same size as Cam Newton. I'm not sure if people realize how big Josh Allen is. And so Buffalo goes on an 83-yard drive over 6 minutes. And it was cool to see them work in a guy that they've tried to incorporate. It's been tougher because of some injuries. But if they can add this guy and make sure that he is part of the equation in the formula moving forward, it's yet another weapon for Josh Allen.
Six on the play clock. Shakir in motion right to left. Here's the snap. Blitz coming. Allen has to throw it. Wide open. It's Samuel scampering to the end zone, and he's in for the touchdown. Well, welcome to the end zone, Curtis Samuel. A 12-yard touchdown reception. His first as a Buffalo Bill.
Just by execution, you know, 11 guys playing together, you know. Gratefully, I was on the end of a touchdown. You know, I got my first touchdown, which I was happy for. Everybody was going crazy. I told y'all, when I got in the end zone, I'm going to dance now. So let's keep it going.
That he did. It was a lively atmosphere there in Orchard Park. I like the bold calls always, the toughness that the Bills show, the grit that embodies Western New York. And they are perfect at home for a reason. Now, you could tell that the Chiefs had a sense of urgency after that, really needing to get some points on the board, recognizing the time was running out. And I think understanding they don't blow teams out, right? This is how they win. They stick with you. They've trailed in every single game this season, but they will fight, scratch, and claw. They will pick apart your weaknesses. They're great at making adjustments. And you could see that sense of urgency and the, okay, this is where our experience and our wisdom, this is where being a two-time Super Bowl champion can be a factor.
On second down and goal at the one, Mahomes throws it late, back to the end zone, caught, Noah Gray, touchdown, Kansas City flirting with the back pylon on the near side.
I am pretty sure I heard on the broadcast this was the first multiple touchdown game of Noah Gray's career. And just as a clarification, two-time defending Super Bowl champion, of course, these Chiefs have 3 Super Bowl wins and 4 Super Bowl appearances. That Noah Gray score brings them within a couple of points. Ooh, and this is where the tension, you could feel it in your gut. It's like that tension of Stanley Cup playoffs when they go into sudden death overtime, where it's really do or die. So the final Buffalo drive features 3 first downs and a moment of truth, a 4th and 2. And you may remember earlier in the game, the Chiefs were, I think, just shy of midfield and were sitting on a 4th and 2. And there was a debate on the program or on the broadcast with Jim Nantz and Tony Romo. Do you go for it? Do you not go for it? What does Andy Reid do? They line up. They try. First, they're in shotgun. Mahomes starts gesturing wildly. And Romo makes it pretty clear. Oh, yeah, they're just trying to draw the Bills off sides, which was the case. The Bills don't flinch. And they end up walking to the sidelines before they try the field goal. Or no, before they punted. So in this case, it's a 4th and 2. And that debate, it's taking place in the broadcast booth, probably taking place in homes in Buffalo and Kansas City and other places around the country, because all eyes on this 4th and 2 for the Bills.
Allen going to step up in the pocket. Now he's going to take it and run, and he's got the first down and more. 10-5, and muscles his way into the end zone for an unbelievable 26-yard touchdown run. Are you kidding me?
Chris Brown with the call on Bills Radio. Josh breaks ankles. He breaks coverage. This was a brilliant run. He's bouncing off guys. He's spinning around. He's taking the contact, and he's staying on his feet. 26 yards for pay dirt and just a little bit of redemption, though it's not playoffs. The Bills definitely have success against the Chiefs. What is this, the 4th win for the Bills against the Chiefs in the Patrick Mahomes era, if you will. So they do know how to beat them. They do. It's just that the painful losses very often have come against Kansas City in the postseason. And so don't worry about whether or not these two teams are going to match up in the playoffs. Josh Allen doesn't want to hear it.
We're not there yet. We'll focus on that when we get there. But we got a bye week and then, you know, tough team coming here, I believe.
Yeah, they do have a bye week. And we'll talk about the schedule with Sal Capaccio. Their next three games after the bye, I think, will challenge them more than any other stretch on this schedule. Josh Allen with 366 total yards. He did have the one turnover in the first half, but he was a beast. So a couple of weeks ago, actually, I guess it was last week. Sometimes my weeks all blend together, as you know. I tweeted, this is not breaking news, just reality. Josh Allen is a beast. So after he gets into the end zone, I had to bring that back up. Again, not breaking news, but truer than ever. At A-Law Radio is where you can find me. And then our Facebook page, too, will get the Monday MVP poll up before too long, before this next hour is done. Now, we're going to talk to Sal coming up here at the top of the hour. But how about Patrick Mahomes and this Chiefs offense that wasted enough opportunities, didn't get the ball, well, weren't able to move the ball there in kind of the midsection of this game where they needed to break up the Bills' rhythm.
They're a good defensive football team. They've been like that my entire career, and Coach McDermott does a great job of getting the guys in the right spots and the guys make plays. So it's a good football team, and they got us today.
It's a great game to learn from for some of our young guys. Two good teams play each other. The margin between winning and losing is small, man. And so, and that starts with me. We can all learn from it and take something out of this and make us better down the road here. So we'll do that.
The Bills have 71 plays to 52 for the Chiefs. And Bills are also terrific on third and fourth down, going 10 of 17 on those snaps, which is a big deal against this Chiefs D.
They did a nice job with protection most of the time, and when they didn't, he moved around and made some nice throws. Listen, he's a good player, and he's got good players around him. So we've got to tighten up in those situations and make sure we do just a little bit better.
Like I said, it's a good football team, so nothing to hang your head out head on. I'm losing to them, but we feel like we can play better. So we'll get back to work and try to use this as a spark so that we can be a better football team in the end. And the undefeated thing was cool, but that's not our ultimate goal, so we'll keep building towards that.
The undefeated thing was cool, but that's not our ultimate goal. So I think of a couple of plays, a couple of moments. Obviously, his interception on the very first pass attempt of the game leads to a touchdown for the Bills. So right away, they're in a 6-0 hole, by the way. The extra point was missed. But also, when you think about the start of the third quarter, as they're trailing by 2 points, and they have two very short drives where they can't muster more than 35 yards and can't even put a field goal on the field or on the board. So they only end up with 7 points in the second half. We'll talk about it with Sal Capaccio next here after Hours with Amy Lawrence.